on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Grammar Girl here. I'm Mignon Fogarty. This week, I have a special treat, an interview with New York Times bestselling author Courtney Summers, author of the new book, Sadie. If you're a new listener, this probably isn't the best week to get a sense of what the show is about, because I almost never do interviews. You should probably listen to last week's show about the word myself and why we say we get the skinny on something to see what the show is normally like. And longtime listeners, you may remember the one episode where I made up a robot co-host so I'd have somebody to talk to. Well, now you get to hear me talk to a real person. Also, congratulations this week to my fellow Quick and Dirty Tips podcaster, Monica Reinagle, the nutrition diva. This week is her 500th episode. If you're a fan of nutrition or simply mindful about what you put in your body, make sure you listen to the Nutrition Diva podcast every Wednesday. And maybe send her a congratulatory message on Twitter at Nutrition Diva. Courtney, thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. I'm so glad we could finally connect. I read your book, Sadie, and loved it. And
thank you.
Yeah. So why don't you tell the listeners what it's about?
Sadie is about a girl who goes missing on the hunt for her sister's killer and about the popular radio personality who starts a podcast dedicated to finding out what happened to her.
Right. And it was such a neat idea to incorporate a podcast into the book. I know that's one of the reasons I heard about it. And I get the sense that it was based on the podcast Serial. Is that true? Did you listen to Serial?
Kind of. It was, I got the idea toward the end of Serial's run because I was completely fascinated by the response that it was generating, that like everyone like flipped for it and they were just tuning in and binging this content. And I remember reading something about Hyman Lee's parents. They were upset by the whole show. And I thought, you know, what is the potential consequences of telling stories like these in this kind of bingeable format? And I really wanted to explore that. So it was kind of inspired by Serial, but the details weren't or anything like that.
Right. How involved were you in the making the podcast part? Because the book has a podcast element in it, in the writing, but then also there was a real, like, fake true crime podcast that Macmillan put out. So were you involved in that part of it?
I wasn't. I think that's probably for the best. I mean, Maddie produced it. She sent me the voices that would be doing the audiobook, and I didn't have any objections. I thought they sounded great, and then they just took the audio or the podcast portion from the audiobook performance or production and turned it into a podcast. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. It was like the coolest thing I think that's happened in my career so far. I was blown away by it. I was just like, really? That's my book?
That's pretty neat. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's the coolest because we scheduled this interview a while ago. And then I just saw that Sadie made the New York Times bestseller list. So
maybe that was the coolest. Maybe there's like a confluent of like cool things happening. I can't pick this one, but yeah, that was unbelievable.
Yeah. So
I was very excited about that.
So you've written many novels before Sadie, and I saw that they all had won a lot of awards, meant like lots of awards. But is this your first New York Times bestseller?
Yeah, it is. It's just when my editor and the team called, I was like shaking so hard. It was a very brief call, and because they were like, oh, tell people, go celebrate. And after I got off the phone, like, my hands hurt because I was holding it so tightly. I just could not believe it. I was just like in this clenched position going, what? I was shaking so
That's
bad.
So cool. And what did you do to celebrate? I have to know.
Well, this is the, I was like it, the list comes out at 5, and I don't know if I should admit this, but like at 4 p.m. I was in my pajamas. So I was like, I guess I'll just stay inside and being really happy about it tonight. But the next night, I went out for dinner with my family, and it was very nice.
Cool. Yeah, that's the writer's life, right? In your pajamas till 4.
Exactly. That's my uniform.
I feel very accomplished when I get dressed in a day.
Same. I do too. It's like, wow, it's a super productive day. Even if I haven't written that day, you know, if you put on the pants and the shirt, it's like, okay, I'm winning.
Right. So moving on to the language. So one of the things I noticed, this is one of the, I think it's the only book I've ever read where one of the characters stutters. And I was hoping you could talk to me about the decision to make the character stutter and also maybe other ways that you've used language to define your characters.
I think that with Sadie Stutter, the question was, why can't a main character have a stutter? There's no reason they can't, like someone who has a stutter can't star in a story and be the hero of that story. I think there's a relative dearth of stories with characters with speech impediments.
Yeah.
And so that was the decision behind that. And as far as language, like with the podcast portion, you know, it's very much about trying to call to mind shows like This American Life. And they have a very clear sound in your head, you know, like when you're thinking about NPR, you can hear Ira Glass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like mimicking that sort of flow on the page with the words. It was always at the forefront of my mind. With that, so, and they're very, and Sadie has a very stream of consciousness sort of narrative happening, and it's a very stark contrast to Wes' very formal, very tightly wound, I think, kind of delivery to his narrative, you know, like the podcast transcript. So it was just that juxtaposition was always at the center of my thoughts as well.
Yeah, he does and have a very NPR kind of feel.
Yeah, he's kind of pretentious. I mean, I like him, but he's pretentious.
Yeah. Yeah. And I noticed that as I was flipping through the book, again, preparing for the interview, I noticed there's a lot of italics. Sadie, you know, you depict her thoughts to herself, and there are italics scattered throughout to show that.
Love this. I don't even think about these things. I see, like, just happening, and I'm like, oh, like, I guess I did do that. You know, it's almost like, oh, now I've got an answer for it. Why did I do that? It just came out that way.
That's fine.
I feel like I'm just going to reveal there's less intent behind my novels than I think there is or something. You're going to say I did this, this, and this, and I'm going to go, what? I did?
Well, maybe it's
going to feel...
It could be subconscious, but that, I mean, it's funny because I was an English major and I often felt like that's what we were doing in class. You know, we're finding these deeper meanings and symbolism in novels. And I'm like, I always wonder if the author even meant that.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why, the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
Remember the frustration of trying to memorize vocabulary and grammar rules, only to find you couldn't actually use the language in real life? Well, there's a better way to learn. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program with millions of users learning 25 different languages, and you can get it on your desktop or as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways with its intuitive process. It's really different. You pick up the language naturally. first with words, then with phrases, and then with sentences. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Grammar Girl listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Is it rosettastone.com/grammar? That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/grammar today.
A friend told me about unconscious competence or something like that. There's this whole thing where you're unconsciously competent at something after a certain point. So you get to a point where you don't know what you're doing, but you know how to do it. I'm like, let me know when I get there. Well, one day.
I think you're there. I think maybe you're there.
Until I write my next book. I'm never there. It only lasts a book, I think, and then I have to relearn it.
Right. It's always the next one, the next challenge. Just writers are always moving on.
But I'm sure whatever it will be next will be like sad and devastating for a reader. Hopefully. That's what I like to.
Yeah. No, Sadie was really dark.
Yeah, I like to bring down the mood when people pick up my books. Like, if they want something warm and cuddly, they're not going to find it in a Courtney Thomas novel. I don't know why I'm like that. I don't want to think too hard about it.
I was just going to ask you why, but that's okay. You don't have to have an answer. So, before this interview, we exchanged some emails or some writing, and you mentioned semicolons. So, that you kind of like them. So, I wondered if you wanted to talk about semicolons as your anti-pet peeve.
I don't know. I just like the way they can extend and continue a thought on a page. I was just like, wow, it keeps the fluidity of the prose without the firm pause of a period. Like, does that sound at all sensical? I just really like them. And I know some people really don't like them, and I don't understand those people.
I know, I don't either. I guess maybe for you, I guess the way you describe it, maybe it plays into that stream of consciousness that you're trying to go for with
I think you're right.
Yeah, like a period is so final and stopping.
Yeah, it's definitive. Yeah. it's a little too firm sometimes. I'm not ready to end yet, but I just need a break. Time will break.
Yeah, I like that. So the other thing I loved is that when we asked you for your favorite quotation, you picked something from the Paul Auster New York trilogy, and I read that in college and I loved it too. So you probably
that makes me happy.
I know. So you probably read it more recently than I did. So I was wondering if
no, what is oh my it? God, don't quiz me.
No, just, I want to know what you like about it. What do you like about it?
Honestly, it's the language, paragraph that I sent you about, wasn't it being nowhere and he was nowhere and that's where he wanted to be or something like that.
Something like that.
It just felt like every time I was struck, it's just something that felt so honest and true that I almost think I like it in pieces, you know, because I just reach a certain point in it every time and I'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was almost zero in on just these parts that felt right and like they were getting you to the bone or something.
Yeah.
I've always loved that paragraph that I sent you. It's escaping me now, but every time when someone asks me, what's your favorite quote? It's like this big chunk of book from Paul. It's sad. It's cool. It's nice. It's lonely. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's just beautifully constructed.
Yeah. And if people are interested, they can look it up on the website on quickanddirtytips.com. There's an article with Courtney Summers in the title and you'll find the quotation there. I guess in a way it doesn't surprise me that you like the book, because my very distant memory of it is that it's also pretty dark. Like, I remember him hiding behind a dumpster and like feeling really isolated and almost disconnected from the world. And it was almost like he was having
right, all that grim deliciousness.
Yeah, the grim, gritty, you know, having a breakdown kind of moment. So
yeah. I'm definitely like at home with that. I don't know why. I think it's because not that you can't elicit a strong response with happy stories, but I think I always remember like being a kid and being profoundly struck by stories that I thought were unfair. You know, like, do you remember the first story you might have read or watched that you were like, that's not the ending I wanted, but I can't think of how else it could have been. And you're just struck by how unfair but appropriate it is. It's just where the rules seem to break or something. Because there's a point where it's all Disney movies and then you're like, oh, but it doesn't always have to end happily ever after. And then it's like, what?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I do remember that feeling of outrage.
Yeah. I love making people mad.
Yeah. In fact, as I was scrolling through your website, didn't one of your books won something like Worst Child Character Award?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it was, I forget what place gave it the nod. It was like maybe something through Abe Books. They got the Worst Children Award or something. They were on a list of worst children. I'm like, I'll take it. That's the best thing. I'm like, this was the best. But that was cool, too.
It was cool. I couldn't believe such an award existed. I was delighted to see there was such an award.
It was so cool. I think it was less an award and more like just like their little thing that they did to recognize terrible children in literature. And I'm like, oh, that's going in my obituary eventually.
Right?
And, yes.
Okay, but now, I mean, you say you like it that way, but then I'm going to turn the tables on you, because when we asked you what word you'd like to add on the dictionary, you chose like a warm, happy word. You chose loveology.
Love can be heartbreaking. No. And terrible. No, wait, maybe not terrible, but it can be hard. Have you ever heard that song by Regina Spektor? She turns every word into an ology. So it was like, I'm sorry-ology, forgive-me-ology, and love-ology is the title of the song. And I just loved that. Just the idea of, I don't know, this is very evocative to me. Oh. And it is kind of cozy comparatively to the things that I'm interested in. But I've got to surprise people too, I guess.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me about your book, Sadie, which I loved, and a lot of other
thank
people
so
also did too, because it was a New York Times bestseller. So
I saw that you were reading it on your Twitter, I like had a little freak out. I was like, oh my God, grab a girl, read your book.
Yay. So tell people, like, what's the best way for people to find you online?
Anyone can find me on Twitter at Courtney_S or Instagram, which is Summers Courtney, or they can look me up on my website at CourtneySummers.ca.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Well, thanks for being with me and have a great night. Before we go, I have one more announcement. I'll be in Cambridge, Massachusetts this weekend, November 2nd and 3rd, at the Sound Education Podcasting Conference. If you'd like to see me, I'm on a panel with other language podcasters on Friday at 2:30, and I'm giving a live show presentation on Saturday at 2. And they have separate tickets for people who don't want to attend the whole conference and just want to see all the live shows. You can find out more at soundeducation.fm. That's all. Thanks for listening.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Save big money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards. We have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.